G'day, everybody, and welcome to another DUC Migrating to Australia podcast. On this episode, I'm joined by Luke McGee, the founder of Stay Rent Buy. This will be actually the first of a two episode with Stay Rent Buy. And this episode, we're going to focus on how to buy a house or investing into Australian real estate. So, Luke, firstly, welcome, mate, and just give us a little bit of background about yourself, please.
G'day, Wes. Thanks so much for having me on the podcast today, and hello to all the listeners out there. Wes, so as you'd be aware, back in 2014 when we first met, I set up Stay Rent Buy, which is a background in real estate and finance, which is the industry I've been in for basically the last 30 years. I'm a qualified financial planner, licensed finance broker, and real estate agent. Although I'm not currently practicing as a financial planner or finance broker, it's purely because the compliance in those two industries over the years has become so significant that wearing all three hats these days is just not viable. And I have partners in my business now that head up those departments, while I specifically head up the real estate side of things. I certainly do have a great knowledge of those three industries, which I think are pretty important thing because they all tie in so tightly to one another.
Now, fair point, mate. And your background has also been dealing with migrants for many, many years. How many years you reckon you've been? We met many years ago. Like that's nearly 10 years ago. But you're obviously industry before then. So dealing with migrants, sure. How many years background you got, mate?
Yeah, correct. So back in now would have been when I was 30 years old. So that's 20 years ago now that I actually lived in the UK myself, was for 5 years. And back then we were dealing with, I had a business based in London where we were helping mainly expats heading back to Australia and New Zealand, but certainly got involved with that sort of migration space then, and have been very much in that space ever since then. Specifically, though, it was in 2014, and that's when I met you in the UK. That we set up Stay Rent Buy very specifically to help in the accommodation space for that migrant journey.
So was there a personal experience that led you to set this up, or how did that work?
Oh, my God, was there ever, Wes? So I've actually lived in two different countries, moved countries twice. When I was 24 years old, I was working for Australia's largest finance broking company. And they saw fit to, at age 24, send me over to New Zealand with a blank checkbook and to open their business there, which was a great learning experience. But having never really moved out of the state before, moving country with little experience or know-how was quite the eye-opener.
Yeah, I bet.
And I made every mistake in doing so. And a big part of that was finding accommodation. First, when I first got there off the plane to getting a rental property, it was a nightmare, Wes. That was when I was a 24. Then when I moved to London when I was 30, I thought I would have learned a lot from that experience, which I had. Did it make the process any easier? Frankly, no, it did not. And getting to the UK, then finding the rental property, getting your reference checks done, it's hard work, really, really hard work. And I obviously, Wes, you know, being kindred spirits ourselves, I know you've had a similar journey being to the UK and now back in Oz. It can be a daunting process.
Oh, it's horrible, mate. No matter how long you do it or whatever the time is, it's something new. But that's quite a story, mate. So New Zealand, I like the idea of a blank check. I wish I'd have met you then, mate. But anyway.
No, you wouldn't have liked me then, Wes.
And then the UK. So, you know, like the inspiration of your current business at the moment is predominantly getting people to Australia, like getting them houses and everything else in Australia, correct?
Absolutely, mate. It's just helping with the accommodation from the short, as the name of our business suggests, Stay, Rent, Buy. For me, because that's the journey that I went on when I both moved to countries twice, is when I first got my feet on the ground in both countries, I stayed at hotels. And that was a really expensive process in a hotel room. Not a good way of doing things. While I've, then
not long term.
Yeah, not long term. Expensive. And then while I'm fumbling around, then trying to find a rental property, which is the second part of our business. And then into the longer term, you know, people are staying in the country, you know, like a lot of migrants coming to Australia do, you know, eventually to buy a property in that country of origin, which certainly, you know, that's our real area of expertise.
Yeah. Let's run through. So obviously we have relocation agents and we assist migrants getting properties pretty much Australia-wide, certain areas where our relocation agents don't assist with. But with your background, just give us a rundown of how you've been able to help our relocation agents, because you've got, you know, yeah, you've got so many years of experience. Just explain to the listeners how that works, mate.
Yeah, thanks, Liz. Look, this is something I'm frankly really, really proud of, and I'm so thrilled for our association, Wes, to be able to bring you know, what we have available via Stay Rent Buy, and this is exclusive, as you know, to the Down Under Centre relocation agents. And you can't get the two things I'm about to talk about by any other channel in Australia. And that is, first of all, like I talked about, rather than when you first get here and having to stay in a hotel room, or the alternative to that would be in a what we call in Australia a service department, which is essentially a fully furnished apartment with its own self-contained kitchen, laundry, etc., and which you can find them online indeed. However, they're basically at hotel room rates when you book them online. I've had an association with the Quest Service Department Group, who are the largest service department provider in Australia for over 30 years. I came to them with this real gap in the market for migrants when they first land. And Quest, although their brand is massively known here in Australia, it's not well known abroad, and they're very keen to expand their brand abroad. So therefore, they've worked very closely with me in coming up with a pseudo model between a short-term, if you like, hotel or service department and a permanent rental accommodation. That's somewhere in between there. So via your relocation agents, you can get rates at a Quest Service Department that is way, way cheaper than you can get anywhere else online for a similar type of accommodation, or indeed for a Quest Service Department. And again, yeah, that is, you know, the only way people can get that is via your guys' relocation agents. No, so that's for people when, sorry, Wes, yep.
I was going to say, no, like it's really good. You know, I guess, you know, like the partnership that we've got, it's good. And it's all about getting that people when they first arrive in Australia, making their life easier. That's why as a business, we actually put all of our clients in one Facebook group. I'm really proud of that because I don't know any other company that does that. We're like 3,500 people all in a Facebook group, and it's all there to help each other get there. Because you've got people that have been here 4 or 5 years now chatting to people that are about to move to a similar area. And I love it, Luke, because sometimes we get people saying, has anyone got kids in this school? We had one the other week, and yeah, my kid's in that school. He loved it. He went right through, and it just gives that little bit of confidence. Then you extend that to areas, and then you extend that to places to live and buying properties. And that's
that Facebook community of yours, Wes, is just awesome. And I everyone I speak to, you know, I just encourage them always to join that community. It's just a bunch of like-minded people who are genuinely there helping each other.
It's only our paid clients, mate. It's only people that we're processing visas for. Not, you know, people. Yeah. Even though we do the skills assessments for immigration, this is purely just people we do the visas for. And yeah, it's about that. And that's why, you know, I think now they're starting to see a little link between, you know, the two brands. But it's the same common goal. Like our motto is we work for the migrant and we work for each other. But look, I'm really interested to find out, is there a property, you know, residential real estate, is there certain areas of Australia where you would say that are way more expensive? Like, do you have areas that
No, I know exactly where you're going with that, Wes. So if I can just jump back to one more thing before that, Wes, we're talking about that short-term accommodation. I just did want to touch on also the rental accommodation that we have available for Down Under Centre migration agents as well. And I think, Wes, this is probably the real something that really separates the offering that we have available that is truly unique. At the moment, there is a housing crisis in Australia. There's just not enough houses for the people that are here. You know, people are going to rent a property. There's 30 people turning up to every open for inspection. That's just to rent a property. Because I've been in the real estate investments side of things for 30 years, we've got literally thousands of investors, investment properties on our rent roll. So I've directed our property management company to make those properties available as priority to any down under centre migrants that are moving to Australia. So that means that by your relocation agents, rather than having to queue up and compete against 30 other applicants on a house, if we get an application via your the Down Under Centre, it goes to the top of the pile. Currently, today, there's 61 listings available there all around Australia, and that changes daily. That is a massive... You understand the market today, Wes, how difficult that is. So that's a massive leg up for the relocation agents as well. And yeah. Excuse me, not answering a direct question, but I really did want to throw that in there.
No, that's fine, mate. We're here to get your input because that's what it's about. We've got so many clients that it's just a nightmare at the moment for immigration, mate. You've got the government haven't got a clue what to... They're screaming for all these people. You know, I'll give you an example. We did a webinar. We hosted a webinar for South Australia government a couple of weeks ago, and they were screaming, saying that, you know, their current target was to build 8,000 houses the financial year, you know, 2023, 2024, and the following year, they're trying to double it. So they're aware that they need to build houses, but to build houses, they need migrants. And I'm here pulling my hair out saying, well, start inviting our clients to apply for visas. And then for the ones that have been waiting over a year, grant their visas and we can put this problem. I reckon the Down Under Centre clients alone would build those houses, mate. We've got absolute legend bloody construction workers and everything like that. If they got sick, we've got nurses and all that coming over.
Bring them in, Wes. Well, you've hit on such one of the topics I really wanted to cross with you there, Wes, and that's it's such a poignant topic you bring up because we've created this housing crisis where there's just not enough homes for the people that are here already. And I mean, largely caused by the pandemic. So how do we solve that problem? Well, we need to build more houses and we need to build them really, 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 really quickly. Thing is, we don't have enough people here in terms of skilled tradesmen to be doing that. Now, the problem is, as you said, they've reduced the number of skilled migrants that bring in
The invites
for that. Which is counterproductive to getting the job done. So we've got, and the reason that they did that, Wes, is because literally at the moment we've got current Australian citizens who can't find a place to live. Yet the solution is to bring in more immigrants, yet that also adds to the problem. Now, for mine, and gee, it's not rocket science, but one of the biggest contributors to this has actually been the massive uptake of people renting their places out under Airbnb that used to be in the long-term rental market pool. And this isn't rocket science, Wes. I think the government need to, get some policy in place to drag a lot of those properties back into the long-term rental market. And I think part of the problem would be solved.
A great point with that, Luke, because I know that I've got a mate who's is in real estate and they were talking about, where I live on the Mornington Peninsula, it's pretty much, it's a beautiful place to live because I would say one in, in my street, I'd say half the street are just Airbnbs over summer. And then, then there's like it's a good community, but it is, it's that sort of place where you come on holiday and everything like that. It's quite regional. But they've changed. I know the Victoria government and now they've introduced a tax where you have to be renting, you've got to pay, I think it's like $15,000 or something ridiculous. They're bringing it out that these, now be careful what I say, because this isn't my field of expertise, listeners, but my understanding is one of the things that they're doing in Victoria is bringing out, it's going to cost you like $15,000 if you've got a property and you're using it just for Airbnb. The state of Victoria is now encouraging people to have it rented for 6 months. Fully rented for 6 months, and if you can do that, you avoid the fee, which is around about $15,000 to $17,000, Luke. So that's a lot of money. So that's encouraging people with second properties to now, rent it out to people that need it. And that's a good amount of time if you're a migrant to sort of get that sort of 6 month period in one property, you know, because think a lot's happened in 6 months when you're new to a country. Is this news to you, mate? No, I was aware of that.
And what a great live example of what I was just talking about, Wes. Our genius politicians at work, Wes. In the 30 years I've been in the industry, I've been told that real estate laws are going to become federal rather than state. Which would make just so much sense. But, of course, in 30 years that hasn't changed and each state has its own policies as far as real estate legislation goes. And, therefore, what is now in place in Victoria is not in place nationally. It needs to be.
Yeah, it should be. But, Luke, let's crack on to the
yeah, sorry, I apologize.
That I feel the listeners are probably going to want to know. So let's talk about what areas are hot at the moment.
Yeah,
what
great call.
Yeah, in Australia, what's good, what's not good, where's, you know, just fire away. Give us some examples.
Yeah, Dan, let me roll here. So, and I need to just go back in time at just for 2 seconds first to when we first met, 2014 to till the pandemic. The massive majority of people that we were helping find housing were coming to Melbourne and Sydney. Since the borders have reopened, that demographic has done an absolute backflip, with the overwhelming number of people now either coming to Brisbane or Perth. The couple of reasons for that, and look, some of this is culturally driven and some of it is opinion driven. I think the whole pandemic has, you know, just made everyone realise that you don't need to be living in the capital cities. People want to be living that better lifestyle, certainly. I know I've done that. I know you've done that personally. But purely the bigger driver, even though, would be housing affordability, Wes. And that's where people are, and certainly Perth in particular is the real hottest spot in Australia at the moment. Certainly the number of migrants that we're seeing buying property. And also investors. We've put over 200 of our investor clients into Perth over the last 12 months. And the property market over there has gone up 22% in the last 12 months. So the capital growth's been through the roof. And the next place is Brisbane. Or let's just say Southeast Queensland, anywhere from the Sunshine Coast west down to the Gold Coast. Wow, man, it's hot stuff up here. Sorry, listeners, that's where I'm actually living in Brisbane. I moved up here only 3 years ago from Melbourne myself, which is a real trend as well. We're actually not just getting people from overseas moving into state. Indeed, we're now getting a lot of Australians moving out of Sydney and Melbourne, either to regional areas or indeed into state.
So, is it to buy new houses, Luke, do you think, or is it just because of the weather?
A bit of both, mate. There's a housing affordability lifestyle, combine the two and it just becomes a more appealing place to live. Even some of the regional areas, Wes, in certainly Brisbane, are now becoming, you know, real centres and just hard to get land, you know. The thing is too, Wes, this isn't going to stop anytime soon. Australia's got such massive debt through the pandemic and prior to that through the GFC, unprecedented debt. And we've also got an aging population, which means that we're running out of people paying enough taxes to support this debt. So again, how do we solve that problem, Wes? It's migration. So purely on supply and demand, the Australian property market is, I don't care what anyone says, mate, I've been doing this 30 years, and supply and demand is what drives things. And property prices in Australia, particularly in Perth and Brisbane over the next 12, 24 months, gee, it's a good place to have your money, Wes.
Just going to tell our friends at immigration, mate, to start getting the invites and granting those visas, and we'll.
Tearing my hair out, mate. Being at the pointy end of it in terms of the construction and wanting to get houses built, we do some developing ourselves. We've got a bunch of timber tied up and stuck in Turkey at the moment. It's ridiculous, the supply chain issues that still exist. It's been a terribly frustrating time.
Kind of makes you think if they actually wanted to help solve the problem, they could actually do it. But it's like they to get themselves in a knot. But let's move on from that. So what are some of the factors driving continued housing shortages within Australia? You mentioned a couple. Yeah. Any more?
Yeah, absolutely. There is. And look, this is a really interesting one, mate, is that the demographics of the Australian household has changed so dramatically over the last 20 years. Where the average house used to consist of don't quote me exactly on this, but used to be the average household consisted of 3.7 people. It is now 1.4 to 1.6 when I last saw it. That was midway through last year. So what that means is that people are staying single longer till later in life. It's just more people living on their own, single people person dwellings. A ridiculous amount, and therefore there's that type of accommodation. A lot of that type of accommodation is being built. There's a new phenomenon known as rooming housing that's being built in great numbers, particularly in Queensland and some areas in Melbourne and Sydney, where basically a house is built with a common area, and then it has up to five rooms off it that are basically self-contained units. And we're seeing people buying those rooms essentially, or leasing those rooms. The demographics are doctors, lawyers, nurses. It's extraordinary. So a real change in demographic has helped drive that as well to the housing shortage.
Yep.
But again, the main one behind it is certainly the population growth. It's just supply and demand is the main factor.
How do you go about buying a house? I mean, this is the thing. I think this is the main point that the listeners want to hear.
Yeah.
How do you go about it, mate? What's the first step you take? How does it go? Run through the process, buddy.
Yeah, great question. Look, there's probably two steps for this to the audience that we're talking to, Wes. And the first one that I might address would be, let's deal with someone who's currently in the UK and thinking about moving here. And I've just over the last 6 months been talking to so many clients that fit this situation, where they know they're coming over to the UK, but at the moment the Australian government has introduced what we call there's two different fees that they've added to anyone who is not a permanent resident or Australian citizen, a bunch of additional fees. If you purchase a property that apply to you. So the first one of those is called the foreign acquisition fee. And that fee is currently $13,200 for a property up to $1 million, $26,000 for properties up to $2 million. And once we get over the $2 million, that's an extra $52,000. Furthermore, on top of stamp duty that an Australian citizen would pay, a foreigner, if you don't have your permanent residency or citizenship, each state imposes an additional stamp duty, and that varies from state to state. For example, the worst one is New South Wales is going to charge an additional 8% stamp duty. Most of the states are at 7%, Tasmania 3%, Northern Territory 0%. So what that means was that if you haven't got your permanent residency, buying a property, if you don't have your permanent residency yet, it's going to cost you, let's say it's probably $600,000, it's going to cost you maybe an extra $60,000 in upfront government fees to do so. And that's been a real deterrent. However, the reality of it is in the current market, if we're talking to someone who's in the UK, it's likely going to be at least 2 years till they get their permanent residency. Well, the Perth property market went up 22% last year. So if we're talking a property worth $600,000, that's $120,000 in capital growth in that 12-month period. So are you better off to perhaps get your foot in the property market now and suck up those fees? In many cases, I firmly believe that that is a really smart thing to do. Getting your foot in the Australian property market as soon as you can is a really wise move, because the one thing they're not making anything any more of, Wes, is land.
Yeah.
It's becoming such a finite resource. Even when you look at Australia and it looks like such a large place, I can tell you right now, getting our hands on land at the moment is the land release has come, mate, and it's snapped up so quickly. Every month I get the price list on all the new land estates, and the prices are going up every month. I'm not saying it's for everyone, but I think it's something that people should discuss and become aware of. And I'd really encourage people to touch base with us around that to further understand that, because there's a bit more to it.
Yeah, look, it's a massive factor.
Obviously, we've got for those residents that are now here in Australia, where do you start for buying a property? The very first thing to do is to find out how if you can afford to, and that's where we need to start talking to some banks. And we indeed have a finance division, and that will be the second podcast you've kindly invited us to do with you, Wes, where we'll go into more detail about that. But that's really the first and such a key component, and why we will need to have a whole podcast dedicated to it. So understanding, what the banks, Australian banks, require of you before they'll lend you some money, because the banking system here is literally flipped on its head to that of the UK banking system. Also just what deposits are required. In a real nutshell, if you haven't yet got your permanent residency, you generally speaking need a 20% deposit of the purchase price of the property plus costs. Now, those costs will include, if you don't have your permanent residency, all those additional fees that I just mentioned earlier. If you do have your permanent residency, congratulations, well done. And that's, you definitely should be coming and talking to us if you're in a position to do so. In that case, you could potentially can only need as little as a 5% deposit. You also then would be available for certain government grants and incentives to be buying your first home. Having said that, we also very much can assist property investors as well. That is indeed at one of our areas of expertise as well, really helping people build wealth through property investment.
Luke, you used a figure before of $600,000. Can you buy a property in WA for $600,000?
You can buy a great property in Perth for $600,000.
That's it, $600,000.
Yeah, we're talking four-bedroom, two-bathroom, in great suburbs, great schools, near the beach. That's why people are moving there, Wes.
That's ridiculous.
Isn't it unbelievable? As you know, in Melbourne now, that's a one-bedroom apartment.
If that.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I think you make a good point. We, through the DUC Club, the private Facebook group we've got going, it comes up all the time. Do you rent, but then that rent's dead money? Do you, if you're not in a PR visa, do you sacrifice it? But then, as you say, prices goes up. I bought in the pandemic. I bought probably I had to live somewhere, so I had to buy a house, I guess. And the prices probably went down, but at least got somewhere to live with the kids.
This is the thing, Wes. There's so many options available to people, and so many people don't seek advice around this type of thing, and I want this to come across respectfully, but it's the most important decision people make. It's the biggest expense anyone ever has is buying their own home, and so often they don't seek professional advice on it. To contact one of our team, we genuinely are here to help people and steer them in the right direction. To have a quick chat with us to make sure you're making the right decisions on a few things. That it costs you nothing. It takes a little bit of your time. To worst case, ensure that you're on the right track, or B, if you're not, you know, let us help you ensure that you're doing so.
Yeah, perfect. So I still can't get my head around it. What's a house worth in Brizzy, you reckon? Like you mentioned some of those areas from Sunny Coast to the Gold Coast. What's an average price for there?
Yeah, look, in your, for what we call our first home buyer areas, Wes, you're probably now looking 800, 850 grand. Is where you'd need to be starting.
I love Melbourne, but Jesus, $800,000, that's good. And that's your 3-4 bedroom house, right?
Yeah, that's in your first home buyer areas. You know, new land estates, that's the cheapest areas you'd get. No, the Brisbane market has really boomed over the last 20 years. It's become it used to be referred to almost as the big country town and was the butt of a few jokes, but Brisbane's now truly an international city. It's a wonderful, wonderful place. As is the whole of Southeast Queensland, it's a thriving, thriving place to be.
I think what most of our listeners are interested in, they're pretty clued on. They understand that price is going to go up. You know, if you've got a property, you're better off and everything like that. I think that's standard no matter where you live. And if you can afford to move to Australia, you're generally financially okay. You've been able to save and potentially selling a property and everything. At what point should someone start thinking of making contact with you guys? There's no point doing it when they're just at the very start. Is it when they're, getting their visa, their invitation to apply, they know they're getting the visa, or is that too early?
I don't think it can be too early. You know, if you, the more information that you're armed with and the further out that you can plan these things, probably the better off you can be, because as you and I both know, Wes, the closer the time comes that you're actually, the move happens, things get really busy and hectic. So if you're aware of what your options are, a long way out, and then you sort of say, work out what does appeal for you and put a plan in place as to which path you want to go down. You know, do I perhaps want to get my foot in the market before I get there? Or do I actually want to potentially buy a house that I'm going to live in before I get there? We've got a lot of people that do that as well.
That was going to be my next question. How many people do that, buy a house before they arrive? That sounds crazy to me.
It is a relatively new phenomenon, Wes, I must say, and that's solely because of the shortage of rental accommodation. People are just not wanting to have to deal with that, so they're saying, okay, let's just get a house built and we'll move into it. If we change our mind or opinion, we can always put some tenants in it and move elsewhere. And that's certainly a viable option for people as well.
It's just crazy. So I guess we've spoken a fair bit on this podcast, all right, and we've got to sort of summarize it a little bit. I reckon the key points that the listeners want to hear is, if you're not in a PR visa, and correct me if I'm wrong with this, mate, if you're not in a PR visa, you're going to be paying a little bit overs. If you're looking at, I'm no good with maths, but I'll keep it simple. If you buy a house for $1 million, you're probably looking at, it might cost you an extra $70,000 in stamp duty alone, not including other fees you would get.
Yep.
That's probably about right. So if you are looking at home and you're Googling, I know what me and my wife did a lot was look at areas and obviously go on to websites to look at house prices and see what's going, because that's just a bit of common sense, and you get a bit of a feel for the area as well.
Just jump in there, Wes, on that. There's one. So in each state, there's what you call the Real Estate Institute. So the Real Estate Institute of Victoria, Real Estate Institute of Queensland, and so on. Under each of those, it's not very visible, but if you search, you can still do a suburb profile search on each of those websites, and that's a fantastic resource. It tells you everything about every suburb in Australia under those websites, and it's just not well advertised or known. So I'd encourage people to go to the Real Estate Institute websites of each state, have a search of the suburbs, and find out everything about each suburb.
Yeah, very good point. I think that would be quite helpful. Who puts that together though? Like sometimes you don't want to read everything you believe. But
yeah, no, it's all based off the census information, Wes. So it's gathered by government facts and official data. So,
because I reckon, I don't know what it's like in the UK now, but I reckon nearly every week we've got like certain real estate companies that just put something in our post saying there's people that want to buy our house. Like, it's just crazy. Like, just like, you know, you're wasting all this paper. That's what I think anyway. You know, you're wasting all this paper to put it through. Surely people want to do it, but that's their, you know, in their interest to try generate leads.
Absolutely.
They're doing it because obviously the markets are, you know, the markets are good. So, all right. Any, you know, if you could offer three bits of advice, mate, before we wrap this one up, what would that be?
It would be to get advice, to plan, and it would be to listen to our next podcast about finance, because the finance is the biggest piece of the puzzle. It's the thing that most people make a mistake with too.
Yeah, we'll be interested to hear about that. So, Luke, well, cheers, mate. We'll get on to this other podcast. But, guys, thanks for listening. Don't forget our relocation agents offer a house search service. And also, we've got a really good relocation website that we've got to mention, because Elise has done an amazing job with that. And she's done it with the help of our clients. Our clients being migrants have been able to add, you know, what they're spending on houses, what they've been, you know, like probably bills, utility bills, etc., shopping, food shopping, certain areas. It's an amazing website. I love the Joey Club. That's my little favorite bit, where every month there's a prize, get the kids coloring in little Aussie things, get them talking about Australia. So, Luke, thanks again, mate, and we'll catch you on the next one. Cheers, buddy.
Thanks so much for your time. Really appreciate it.